So as I came to prepare this chapter, this is quite a difficult text to preach on. Not because it's a hard text to understand, but because the standards that are found in chapter 31 seem so crushingly high. I mean, the woman that's described in this chapter seems to be the perfect woman that you would get on the front of Vanity Fair. She's a woman who runs her household. At the same time, she runs several businesses. She cares for the poor on the one hand, and she doesn't worry about the future to come. She speaks wisdom, like wisdom droops from her lips, and she's respectable. She doesn't gossip. Her husband looks at her adoringly, while her kids never, ever answer back. She's a morning person and she's an evening person. Didn't think that existed in the world. She's a hard worker and yet she remains humble. She is rich, but she's not selfish at the same time. As you read through those verses, it sounds like this woman doesn't sleep. She's never anxious. She never badmouths her husband. She makes money, but she's gives it away. She does great charity work and everyone respects her. She's basically Wonder Woman here. You know those pictures you get at Christmas time? Particularly American families. I love you guys Americans, but particularly in America. And they're all got matching pajamas. And they're sitting there in front of their house with a nice fire behind them. Nice white teeth. Everything's straight, it's been all permed and sorted out. And it looks like the perfect family, doesn't it? Husband and wife, five kids. It looks amazing. That's what this chapter looks like. Amazing, perfect, nothing wrong. Well, it's important as we come to this text to remember a couple of things. It's important to remember that this is a poem. And poems often have two levels going on. They can say one thing and yet have a deeper meaning that the poem is pointing to. So in this case, we've got to remember why the poem's been written. The poem's been written by either a mum or a dad, we're not sure exactly who, and the mum or dad is advising their sons on what kind of woman to marry. What kind of woman to marry. And they're saying to their children, their sons, choose wisely. Choose wisely who you're going to marry. Choose well. But on another level, this poem is basically giving us a picture of wisdom in all of its beauty. If you go back to chapters 1 to 9 of Proverbs, you'll see that Solomon gives us two pictures. You have picture 1, Lady Wisdom. And then you have picture 2, Lady Folly. And the father basically says to his sons, you've got two choices. You can choose the wise path, the woman of wisdom, or you can choose the foolish path, the woman of folly. He says you can choose wisdom and live, or you can choose foolishness and die. Both call out to us. Both ask us to listen to them. And the book of Proverbs basically, in summary, is which book are you going to listen to? Which voice are you going to listen to? And so as you get to chapter 31, here is Lady Wisdom painted in all her glory. She's beautiful. She's hardworking. She gives life to others. She's kind. She helps others to flourish. She's compassionate. She's blessed. She's generous. She's praiseworthy. Basically, what the book of Proverbs is telling us at the end is choose wisdom. Choose Lady Wisdom. Don't choose the voice of folly. Choose Lady Wisdom. Embrace Lady Wisdom. Marry Lady Wisdom. Because it's as you embrace that wise voice and you embrace that wise woman that you will in turn become wise yourself. Do you see? So it's not supposed to be, look at this woman and be like her, because you'll never do it. It's saying, look at this woman, look how beautiful she is, embrace her, and then become like her as you sit under her wisdom. Do you see? This is not a to-do list for women, but this shows us wisdom in action. He's painting a picture of what true wisdom looks like, and he's saying, embrace that wisdom. Love that wisdom, sit under that wisdom, and you too will then become wise in your life. So with that in mind, just a couple of things I want to draw out of the text for us this morning. First point is, men prize lady wisdom. Second point is, ladies, you need to fear the Lord. And thirdly, we all need to embrace the Savior. So first, men need to prize lady wisdom. So again, people might look at this text and think, oh, this is just a text for women. It's all about a woman here. And particularly, it's just a text for wives. But this text is just as much for men as it is for women. The wisdom for men here is prize lady wisdom in your life. Again, this is a beautiful picture of wisdom. This lady is strong. She does good. She's trustworthy. She's hardworking. She's generous. She's kind. She's praiseworthy. She's blessed. Now, in our culture, what do men prize? Or what we're told to prize? We're told to prize as men power. We're told, or from our hearts, to prize sex. We're told to prize being in charge, or reputation, or being respected, or getting one up on other men. But the Bible says those prizes don't last. And they'll lead to ruin, because power corrupts, doesn't it? Lust leads to loneliness and it leads to shame. Reputation leads to pride and it leads to arrogance. Laziness leads to poverty. Rudeness and harshness leads to the breakdown of our relationships. Instead, what he's saying is embrace wisdom. Embrace integrity. Embrace humility. Embrace being a trustworthy man. Embrace being a generous man. Embrace being a kind man. Embrace being a good man. Embrace being a gentle man. And that wisdom, as we prize it, will come out in two different ways as men. First, it will lead us to choose well in terms of who we marry. That's what it says in verse 10, an excellent wife who can find, she's more precious than gold. He's not saying that there's not any excellent wives out there. There are plenty. But what he's saying is choose wisely. Don't choose just based on looks or how attractive someone is. Choose based on their character deep down. Because either your wife will bring you a blessing or she'll be a curse to you. Look at what it says. A godly wife does her husband good. She looks after the family. She doesn't badmouth him. She uses the finances well. She encourages his calling in life. She's kind and she's compassionate. But the opposite is true. An evil wife will do the opposite to you. An evil wife will tear you down. An evil wife will nag you constantly. An evil wife will distract you from whatever the calling God has put on your life. An evil wife will not make your house an oasis. It will make it a place where you're constantly putting out domestic fires all the time. And she'll ruin you. One strengthens, you see. One weakens. One brings life, the other brings death. One brings blessing, the other one will bring curses to your home. Got some young men in the house today. Young men, young Christians, choose who you marry very, very carefully, because a wife's not just for Christmas, she's for life. And you want a wife who's going to love the Lord and is going to point you to Christ in your life. Don't base your choices on beauty, because it's deceitful and it fades. Choose wives based on their character. What does it profit for a man to gain a beautiful wife and yet have that wife drag him to hell? Nothing. But wider than that, this text is also encouraging us men to prize wisdom by prizing the women in your life, whoever they are. Well, it says at the end, a godly woman is worth more than jewels. Not just wives, but women in general. Again, this is important in our culture because men are taught in our culture to demean women, abuse women, control women. But godly men who embrace wisdom don't do any of those things. They use their strength to protect the ladies in their lives, whoever they are. They use their strength to cherish the ladies in their lives. They use their strength to care for and love the women in their lives. In fact, one of your calling as men, whether you are a husband or not a husband, whoever you are, if you're a man in this room, your job is to make sure the women, whoever they are around you, flourish. That's your job. It's not for the women to come and serve you. It's for you, as a man, to serve the women around you so that they flourish. Male leadership, whether that's in the home or in the church, is there to protect and care for others. It doesn't matter if you're an elder today, or whether you're a deacon, whether you're a husband, or a brother, or a son, or an uncle, or a father, or a granddad, or just a friend of other ladies in the church. Embrace wisdom and serve in such a way that the ladies in your life flourish. Think about verse 16. It says, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. You see here that the husband or the man here trusts his wife or the lady here. He's not seeking to control her. He's not looking over her shoulder saying, why are you doing that, love? You shouldn't be doing that. No, he trusts her. She buys the field, she plants the vineyard. He's not controlling her. He's championing her. He's saying, go on, love. Do what God has called you to do. He trusts her. Again, the woman of wisdom is to be praised. The women in your life are to be adored and praised. We need to prize the women in our lives because women are under a lot of pressure, aren't they? The stresses of being married to husbands who often think they're God's gift to women but really aren't. The anxiety and pain of giving birth and raising children and everything that goes in with that. The stress of being a mum or an auntie to those they love and they care for so deeply. Cycles of hormones that women deal with on a monthly basis, as well as the menopause later on. Older ladies know what I'm talking about. It's stressful. The absence of good men in the church. And yet many of the ladies stay single because there's no good men, and so they serve the Lord faithfully in the background. The pressure by the culture to look and act in a certain way. The problem in the church of being neglected and not listened to. And the pressure of comparison with one another as women often feel inferior to each other in the church, in the home, in the workplace, in the community. Men, we need to encourage our ladies, not tear them down. Thank them for their service in whatever it is. Compliment them, not on how they look, or you can do that, but mainly on their character. How are you seeing them grow? We'll get to men in a second, pal. Thank you very much. We'll get to men in a second. Don't worry. We'll get to men in a second. We'll get to it. We'll get to it in a second. We'll get to it in a second. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our ladies are. They're our sisters in Christ. And we fan into flame their gifts so that they might grow. We need to be like Christ, who showed such tender compassion to the women he met. Like the woman at the well. Do you remember the woman at the well? The woman at the well was there. She'd had five husbands. She came in the heat of the day. She was embarrassed. She was all over the place. Did Jesus say, get out of here? You're a loser? No, he came alongside her and was gentle with her and cared for her. There's a reason the lady stayed with Jesus all the way into the cross while the men abandoned him. It's because he was so compassionate to them. Men, we are to embrace wisdom, prize wisdom, and then prize the women in our lives by honoring them. Second, for the ladies, women are to fear the Lord. Look at verse 30. It says, charm is deceitful, beauty is in vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Again, ladies often look at this text and they read through it and think, how can I be like this woman? How can I do all these things? I can't do all this. Or we think, I'm not married, and so I can switch off here because this is about a wife. But again, this is a picture of wisdom, whoever you are this morning. Whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you're widowed, whether you're divorced, whether you're a young Christian, whether you're an older Christian. Whatever or wherever you are in life, you should pray that you see the beauty of wisdom and become like her in your life. And the central aspect that everything else flows from is that statement, fear the Lord, isn't it? Fear the Lord. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Every woman, above all else, is called to fear the Lord. What does that mean? Well, we saw at the beginning of our series that the fear of the Lord is to joyfully tremble before our great God as we see his goodness and mercy towards us. Ladies, see his greatness, see his goodness, see his majesty, praise him, worship him, adore him, and put him first in your life, and grow in godly character. And again, outward beauty is okay, but don't make that the focus of your life. Don't make the focus of your life what makeup to get, what hair product to get, how to look, etc., etc., to fit in. Fear the Lord. Make that your focus. Make that where you put your money. Sit under her wisdom and grow to be like her in her character as you sit under her wisdom. And what does she look like? There's lots of things here. A godly woman is trustworthy. Look at verse 11. She's not a gossip. She doesn't have loose lips. She uses her words to build others up. She does good to others. She's faithful. And she can be depended on. A godly woman isn't lazy, verses 13 to 15 and 19. She's not a sluggard, as we learned earlier in the book of Proverbs. She's up early, making sure others are fed and watered. She works hard in whatever sphere she's been called to work in. If she has a husband, then she works hard to serve her husband. If she is a mother, then she cares for her children. If she has a business or a job outside the home, she gives that her all. If she's a member of a church, she serves where she can with the gifts that God has given her. If she has a home, she uses that home to be hospitable to others and blesses others by inviting them in. Notice she's a strong woman as well, verse 17. This is not physical strength, but this is a depth of character based on her fear of the Lord that carries her through difficult times. I mean, verse 25 is a challenging one for us all. Just look at what it says. It says she laughs at the time to come. She laughs at the future. In other words, she's not anxious about what is to come. She trusts in the Lord. She takes her anxieties about work, her anxieties about church, her anxieties about family, her anxieties about life to the Lord as she depends on him. She's compassionate, verse 20. She opens her hand to the poor. She shares what she has with others where she can. If a business makes a profit, that profit's used to bless others. Just notice a couple of things here for us as ladies. You fear the Lord, see this. Ladies are not just made for the kitchen or to rear children. You see that? This is not your usual picture of a Christian woman who wears a pinny and she makes sure she has John Lewis clothes on. And she serves slur and quiche to everyone who comes into the house. Just look at her. She's a grafter. She works hard. Her house blesses others. She's a businesswoman. She buys, makes, sells food, etc., etc. She's a strong woman. She's not necessarily shy and retiring. She's valiant in the Lord. And it's important for you ladies to know that a godly woman comes in so many different forms. Some godly women are homemakers and they love that. Other women are going to work in the workplace and they're going to love that as well. Some women are quiet and that's okay. Some women are louder and that's also okay. Some women are wives, and some women are single. The key here is not where she serves, but how she serves. It's not whether she's quiet or loud, but whether she is godly. It's not how she looks and whether she's fashionable, but is she growing in godly character? Again, character is more important, ladies, than how you look, because that's what truly makes you beautiful. Again, we put a lot of emphasis on how we look on the outside. There's lots of external pressures on us all the time, but character is more important. Make your speech gracious. Work hard wherever you've been called. Care for others. Because physical and sexual beauty is going to fade. It's going to fade. It's deceptive and it's fleeting. Our characters are being renewed, aren't they, day by day, by the work of the Spirit. So find godly examples in your life. You've got the text here, but also find godly examples around you and stick near those godly examples and become like them as you follow their example. And here's the key, ladies. Do not compare yourself to others. One of the greatest pressures women put on themselves is to be like another woman in the church. Constantly thinking, oh, she's a better cook than me. She's more fashionable. She dresses better than me. She has a husband. Well, I don't. I'm inferior. I have a husband, but her husband is better than my husband. She can seem to do it all, and I can't seem to do anything. She's more servant-hearted than me. She gets more attention than me. Her kids seem to be better behaved than me. She must be a better mother than me. She's all gentle and quiet and reserved. Well, I'm a big mouth. She seems so confident. Well, I'm just so shy and quiet, etc. Don't play the comparison game. Instead, just be thankful for the way the Lord's created you, of your personality and your gifts and the strength that he gives you, and serve in whatever way you can faithfully to the Lord in whatever he has called you to do. You are not failing this morning, ladies, if you cannot sew. You're not failing this morning if you can't cook the best. You're not failing this morning if your kids struggle to go to bed at night. Mine do too. You're not inferior if you can't host lots of women in your home. You're not inferior if you can't start a business or even have kids or whatever it is that you play in your mind over and over again. Instead, just pray that you might fear the Lord and be a blessing in the area that God has called you to serve. And here's the key, as ladies, champion each other. Champion each other. Don't gossip about each other and tear each other down. Champion each other. Don't see them as competition. Sisters in Christ. We're going to help each other parent. We're going to help each other be hospitable. We're going to help each other care for those in our lives. Not competition. Sisters in Christ who are fearing the Lord together and pointing each other to the Savior. Embrace wisdom. Embrace wisdom. As we end, it leaves us with a question, doesn't it? How are we as men supposed to prize wisdom when we're so foolish sometimes? How are we as women supposed to fear the Lord when all we want to do is serve ourselves? Well, the answer is, thirdly, we need to embrace the Savior. We need to embrace the Savior. You know, as we look through those character traits, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking I fall short of all of these things. Instead of wanting to do good to others, I do harm. Instead of working hard, often I want to cut corners. Instead of serving others, you know what? Half the time I don't want to serve others, I want to serve myself. I want to speak wisdom, but often I speak foolishness. I open my big gob, but at times I shouldn't, and I tear people down. I feel like a curse rather than a blessing to others. Sometimes I can barely get out of bed in the morning, let alone get up at the crack of dawn and make food for everybody. Do you resonate with that? Not Benny. Often we want to be wise, but we're foolish, aren't we? We ask the question, who would want to marry someone like me? Who on earth would want to marry someone like me? You probably feel like one of those people from the program, The Undateables. You've seen that program? No one want to marry me if they knew the real me. I'm undateable. Well, the Bible says there is one who wants to marry you with all your sin and with all your foolishness and all your guilt and all your stupidity and all your shame. And his name is Jesus Christ. You know, the center of the gospel is a marriage. Jesus died for sinners in order to marry them and make them his bride. Before we become the beautiful woman in this text, you know what you are before you're the beautiful woman? You're a prostitute, a spiritual prostitute, the Bible says. You've cheated on the God who created you by running after other idols. But here's the good news. Christ the King becomes a man and dies for his bride, and then he unites himself to us to make us clean and to sanctify us and to change us and to make us more like him. He says, everything I have, all the riches that I have, I give to you, sinners. He says, I'm going to love you in sickness and in health. He says, I will not abandon you even if you commit adultery on me and you mess up. He says, I will sanctify you and I will make you clean by the washing of my blood. For better or worse, till death do we meet. Think about it this way. Imagine King Charles was single again. And he was looking for a wife across the land. And he looked across the land and he fell in love with a prostitute. And he decided against all advice, to marry this girl. So he plans the wedding, they make the vows, and they get married. What happens to the prostitute? That prostitute automatically overnight becomes a what? A queen becomes a princess, a queen. Doesn't matter about her past. Doesn't matter where she's come from. As soon as he makes those vows to her and she makes those vows to him, she becomes a princess. She becomes a queen. And that prostitute would have nothing to give. Don't worry about him. We'll keep moving. That prostitute would have nothing to give King Charles. All she brings is a bad reputation to the royal family. She brings nothing to the relationship but her badness. She has no money, she has no house, she has no car, she has no worldly goods. But in return for her nothingness, all she receives is everything. She receives all the king's wealth. She swaps her bad name for a good name. She swaps her dingy council flat that's turned into a trap house for Buckingham Palace. And all she has to do is turn up to the wedding and say, I do. That's the gospel, isn't it? That's the gospel. As soon as a sinner puts their faith in King Jesus, they automatically become righteous by status. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you have come from. Doesn't matter what you have done. If you repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ, you become a child of God. You receive all of his goodness, you receive all of his righteousness, you receive all of his beauty, and he receives all of your sin. He receives all of your foolishness. He receives all of your badness. He receives all of your unrighteousness. He receives all your shame. He receives all your guilt. Jesus says, what is mine is now yours. He swaps your bed in hell for a bed in heaven. He swaps your crooked heart for a new one. He swaps your sinful heart and your sin for a clean slate. It's the best deal in town. You bring nothing to the table. You bring nothing but your sin. And yet you receive everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's as we embrace Jesus Christ as our husband, as our Savior, we become his bride, and he slowly but surely washes us and changes us and sanctifies us and makes us more like Jesus. Don't read this text and think, I need to try hard, this is a to-do list, I need to do it all. No, look at this wisdom, it's about Jesus. And embrace that wisdom, marry that wisdom, love that wisdom, and you will grow in wisdom yourself. You are no longer a prostitute. You are a child of God. You're no longer outside the kingdom. You are now inside the kingdom. You're no longer dead. You are now alive. You are no longer hopeless. You are now have hope. The only thing that's needed for the gospel and for the Christian life is Jesus. Jesus is our life. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is our freedom. And you grow in godly character and godly wisdom as you remember that you don't deserve the fact that Christ died for you. We become the noble wife in these verses as Jesus cleanses, as Jesus strengthens, as Jesus clothes people in his own righteousness, and he presents us as a church, radiant and blameless before him. Read these verses, see the beauty of wisdom, embrace that wisdom, love the Lord Jesus Christ, know his love for you this morning, and then grow in wisdom by prizing wisdom, fearing the Lord, and growing godly character. Amen.